turn you on, and can I see Waze? I can see Waze. This is good. I think we're officially recording, gentlemen.
Clap.
Clap. All right, are we going to clap now?
Yeah.
Okay, one, two, three. One, two, three. I did four just to catch you guys out, because I'm weird.
Super.
Let's do the drinks.
Oh, so this is... I'm going first, because I was in Tesco's. So it wasn't just the usual Aldi stuff.
Okay.
So I went for...
Ooh, Brooklyn Lager. I like Brooklyn Lager. Is it the lager? I can't see. Oh,
yeah,
it's Pilsner.
It's the lager. It's kind of like a lager meets a Pilsner meets an ale. It's like a party in your mouth.
Not like Christmas in your mouth, it's like a party in your mouth.
It's not Christmas in your mouth, but it is like a party in your mouth. It's very, very good. Worth a shot. It's very strong. It feels like you're drinking a really strong beer.
What percentage is it?
It's only 4.6.
That's not too
bad.
But
it feels more. Well, it feels like six.
That's half the trick, absolutely. Right, let's go to Christmas in my mouth, Nicholas. On the brandy.
Well, see, the thing is, because we're moving house, my wife said, I've got to start drinking all the crap that's lying around if I'm going to drink every Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this is vodkila.
Vodkila?
It's vodka and tequila. Vodka.
Okay.
So, yeah, I could be quite drunk by the end of this. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you need to be, because one of the albums is terrible. I am drinking what I sent you guys the other day. So, I brought the four-pack, didn't I? And I tried one, but... I've still got three. You can't see it because the forest is getting in the way.
Oh, yeah.
The Moretti.
How is it?
It's really
nice.
Have
you got the gorgeous glass?
And I've got my glass here.
Oh, the glass is super.
It's so nice to have like a half, just one of those 330 bottles and not feel like a bell end. Because normally you just drink it like one of Winter's. I would drink it in one of Winter's unicorn glasses and just sit there thinking, I can't put that in a pint glass. It looks ridiculous. But no, I like this. It's quite civilised.
It's a great glass.
And free. Tesco's club card.
I know, you didn't even steal it.
I know, it's ridiculous, but there we go. It's very nice. It's got sea salt in it, I believe. Italian sea salt.
Can you taste the salt, or is it just a hint?
It's just a hint. It feels quite bitter, but it's kind of like it's got a sweet aftertaste. If I was going to describe it, and this isn't like a drinks program, it's a music program, but it's like bitter and with a sweet honey texture behind it. It's lovely.
Wow.
Yeah, sounds
good. Are you sure the brewer wasn't just jerked off into the barrel?
Maybe.
How do you get your salt? Yes.
Well, if it tastes this good, he can keep doing it. Right, Chris, take us through the title.
Dun, 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 dun. Episode 60. 60. Bob Dylan, Blonde on Blonde, very long double album, versus The Cure's Disintegration, a very long double album that doesn't feel long.
Stay true.
They both last 72 minutes, but one feels decidedly longer than
it
the other.
It really, really fucking does. So,
do you know?
One? Go on, no, I don't
well,
know. Until
should
you
we
tell
not
me.
Start with? Should we not start with the very first double album ever released?
And this would be Bob Dylan.
Yeah, he beat Frank Zappa by a few weeks.
Ah, well, that's an interesting fact. I'd feel better about that fact if 99% of it wasn't absolute shit. But there we go.
I love your Dylan hatred. It's so good.
I just couldn't get on with this album. I did it in over a few hours. I listened to it once all the way through, and it took me four different settings. And there were tracks I just skipped when I got halfway through. So if any of the songs took a left turn and suddenly became good in the last 3 minutes... then I apologise, because I probably didn't get to that part. I just did not like this album at all. Is this meant to be his best album?
I think so.
I'm literally...
Although I really like Blood on the Tracks, I think it's called.
Yeah. I'm looking at the titles right now.
Album.
I'm looking at the titles right now, trying to remember which one I thought was okay. And I don't even fucking know.
Well, well, I'll take the reins since Dylan's... bearable for me.
Okay. Take us away, Christoph.
So, what I really liked about it is, remember we listened to that other one, Highway 61, and it was just the same folk song 25 times over.
You say listened, I say tolerated, but carry on.
What I quite like about this one is, he's got the whole band thing going, so it's not just the same song
20 times over. A few times it does go a bit folky and it is the same time, but generally the songs are a bit better having that band behind them, I think. You've got to think it's better than that last one because there's more going on.
There's more going on, but the stuff that's going on is not good. It's more bad stuff.
The problem with Dylan, and it's here again, is he's not a very experimental songwriter.
Oh, good
verse,
songwriter.
Verse, chorus, verse, chorus, 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 verse, 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 verse. It's like middle eight. Oh, I'm not going to bother because I can just use the middle eight and make another song out of it. He keeps it so simple.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. It's music by numbers and not good numbers.
It's
it's all the bad
and
numbers.
And lyrically, I tried to look through that last song, that Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands thing, and it's just a massive long poem, and it's the same song for 11 minutes, isn't it? Musically, it's quite hard to listen to.
The whole album feels quite self-indulgent lyrically. I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me. I want to like it. I want to like Dylan, because everybody wants to like Dylan, but I just can't. And if that's his best offering, then I'm never going to be
his
Dylan
most
fan.
Commercial offering. It's his most commercial offering.
Nick, what did you think of it?
Oh shit! I don't get it at all. It's just fuck, man. I don't know. It's not my kind of thing. I'm sure people love it, but fuck those people because it's shit.
Okay,
and you've all frozen.
Chris, so, did you save it? Is it going to get played again?
No, I still love my Bob Dylan greatest hits album from about 1968 and 1969, which has got about 9 songs on it. That's all I need. That's all I need from him.
There's no need for deep.
So on this one, the first song, that Rainy Day, what's it called? Rainy Day song? No. What's the first song called?
It's called Rainy Day Women 12 and 35. I mean, what the fuck does that even mean? What's 12 and 35? Hashtag 12 and 35.
Jizz.
But it's all circusy. I hate songs that are circusy. All that, you know, like, it sounds like a circus. I don't like that.
It's just not good.
But so I really like One of Us Must Know, I Want You, Stuck Inside a Mobile with the Memphis Blues Again, and Just Like a Woman. I think those four songs would make a great 4-track EP.
Choruses.
And they're good.
I know.
I think that's the best of Dylan there.
You've got to think of the time we were in as well. I mean, it's 66, you had Revolver out in that year, which was just all bloody choruses and great songs and melodies and
indie guitar chiming away.
Just like stretching the boundaries of what pop music could be, and then there's this shit. I don't get it. I don't get how he released music at the same time in that period, and he's lauded as one of the best people. It makes no sense. I don't know what I'm missing.
I think... But his lyrics were different and they were clever, but sometimes it's a bit up your arse, isn't it?
Self-indulgent bullshit. That's what it is.
Yeah.
There's not one lyric on there I enjoyed.
Not one lyric. There must be over 1,000 lines of lyrics on this album because he bangs on.
Good.
And
not one lyric did I take away thinking that's a cool lyric. I just thought, what the fuck is he talking about now? It was just depressing. It's depressing that's part of our culture. But there we go.
We'll move on. Cover?
I can't remember what it is. It's just a picture of him.
It's just him with his hair.
What does blonde and blonde even mean? Is it like he likes women two at a time on top of each other?
It's two different kinds of guitars.
Is it?
Two different kinds of wooden guitars, apparently. Even that's dull.
Okay, so also, he's out of focus on that photo. Is he meant to be out of focus? Could he not afford a real photographer? Or is that him trying to be
like
edgy and cool?
I just don't like it.
No. John Lennon's dead and this fucker's still alive. What kind of world are we living in?
What kind of world are we living in?
Exactly. Berlin. Right. Can we just get past this album? Because it's not for me, it's not for Nick. You like some songs. It's like Pink Floyd. We're never going to find solace in this music. It's not for us. It wasn't meant for us.
You've tried Dylan. You hope there's no more Dylan in the top 100.
There will be, won't there? There definitely will be.
I don't know. I don't know.
Society's just that much of a nightmare. Right, let's move on to The Cure, because I love this album, and I'm excited to talk about this album. So let me just get up my song listing. So I've been listening to this album for a long, long time, but to be honest with you, it's one of those albums that I loved in my 20s, I loved in my 30s, and it's probably fallen away over the last few years, but listening to it over the last week, I was just blown away by how good it is. The first four tracks, so Plain Song is a beautiful opener. It's got those echoey vocals just reverberating around the song. It just sets the tone perfectly. And then you just go headlong into Pictures of You, and it's gorgeous, gorgeously long intro, just building up to one of the best pop songs ever wrote. Then Close Down, then Love Song. I mean, it's just, I honestly think it's one of the best four songs starts to an album I've ever heard. It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Then you get later in the album and you've got Lullaby and Fascination Street. Oh, it's just, I just love it. There's not a bad song on there. I think
I think this is like the third time I've come around to it. Mm. And I'm like, why don't I listen to this album more?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
It's such an album. It is an album, isn't it?
It is. It's in scope and sincerity and epicness. It's just, it's all there.
I mean, it's got the same sound throughout.
That's the thing. It sounds like a collection of songs. It feels like all the songs were wrote within a couple of months of each other, recorded in the same space, played on the same instruments, and it's all got that heavy atmosphere to all of them.
Yeah. The only thing is, Fascination Street does stand out a bit as being a bit more 1987 Cure than 1989 Cure, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Still a great song, though. I love it.
But it was, do you know, it was released in America as the single instead of Lullaby, because they were like, oh, Lullaby, America's not going to get that. They're not, Fascination Street, please. Probably, so I think that was maybe why it was on there. It was like, do something commercial.
But
apart from Fascination Street, everything else is really dark and looming, isn't it?
It is, but in a really, really great way. Really, really great way.
I think they literally invented dream pop, and they invented My Bloody Valentine and Slow Dive and Shoegazing and a million genres with this album, didn't they? And it sounds so fresh. It doesn't sound 1989. There's no like dodgy synths or anything. You know, when you think this is the height of like Technotronic and S Express and Black Box.
Absolutely.
There's none of that. There's no 808 samples that just sound out of place.
Nope. Absolutely not.
But it is electronic. It's mad.
It's fantastic. And will you ever come across a song in your life more depressingly beautiful than Pictures of You? I just think it's probably amazing. One of the best songs of all time.
Did you hear the story behind it?
Don't think so, no.
Robert Smith had a house fire, and he found pictures in the fire, and it was literally pictures of his wife, and they were just, you know, crumbling away in his fingers. Like, oh!
That's a killer, isn't it?
Unbelievable, eh?
Yeah.
And he's literally destroying them by just touching them and holding them.
I've probably told you the infamous story of my Cure gig. We went to see him in Hyde Park, and we didn't see him. We just stood in a field nearby where they were playing and paid a good £90 a ticket for the privilege. Anyway, I was queuing up because it had been a long day, and I was queuing up to get a hamburger at the burger stall. And we were so far away, because Hyde Park gigs are just fucking ridiculous. So far away, I could hear the opening intro of Pictures of You, and it felt like it was on the breeze travelling to me through sound, through the wind. And I said to George, this is Pictures of You, you'll love this one, you'll know this one. And she couldn't hear it. It's like, no, listen carefully to the, you know, the £180 that we spent to listen to it. Just fucking ridiculous. But yeah, anyway,
tell everyone, stop speaking, I can't hear. Ooh. We've all had to be really quiet. Don't move.
As I was paying £25 for a burger.
You've got to love London, haven't you?
Gotta love it. But there we go.
You know where you're in London when you feel like you've been ripped off.
Yes, absolutely. I'd been looking forward to that gig all year, and when I got there, I realised that it was all barricaded off. You could get nowhere near the funds, and the closest we could get, because of the fencing that they put up, was like pinprick territory. You needed binoculars. I'd never felt so conned in my entire life. It's not fair, even though. Even to the point now where people say, like, oh, have you seen The Cure live? I just answer no and forget I was even there. It's ridiculous. But there we go. I'll stop moaning about that.
Right.
Until it's left
to We've got to ask the big question. We've got to ask the big question.
Okay.
What did you think of it, Nick?
So here's the thing, right? I've never really liked The Cure.
Okay.
The Cure are far too mopey for my tastes. I like...
You're a miserable bastard.
I like music. It's like, it's depressing, but it's fuck you music. It's okay. Like, yeah, God, fuck off, right? I don't like music. It's like, oh, fuck me. I'm so sad and lonely and I'm going to jerk off in a corner by myself. And that's The Cure. We do have a couple of good songs, I'll give them that, but I couldn't get my way through that album without just being like, oh, for fuck's sake, cheer the fuck up. I don't know. It's just not my thing at all, so... So that's...
Not even Lullaby and Love no, Song. I'm not saying there aren't, and Fascination
I'm not saying there aren't a good couple of songs on that album. There are. But as an album as a whole, I couldn't get through it because it's just depressing as shit.
Yeah.
That's not my kind of thing.
It is. Do you know... can you imagine being like a 15-year-old girl into goth music, painting your bedroom black and just sitting with the album and just reading the lyrics to that? This would be heaven. That's what I want to be in my next life.
Have you guys ever read a book by John Robb? He's a Manchester guy from a band, and I can't remember what the band's called, but he's got Mohican. Pretty cool geezer. And he wrote a book last year called The Art of the Goth. And it's a 30-year history of goth music. And it describes being a goth so perfectly. You should definitely read it. It made me want to go back and be 13 years old again and wear black and wear eyeliner and drink cider and dance in strange ways.
Wear eyeliner, man.
I did wear eyeliner.
I want to do it all again, though.
Yeah. I do. I wish I'd found this album earlier. Like, you know, when we were hanging out at like 15, 16, like if we'd found it at the Car Booter, it would have just been... I think we'd have just absolutely fallen in love with it as much as Ziggy Stardust at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do. But we just found it just slightly too late.
Yeah, and actually I've got no excuse because one of my best mates in school was a girl called Angie, and she was a massive Cure fan, and she was a massive Fields of the Nephilim fan. And she tried to get me into all the goth side of stuff, and she played me Fields of the Nephilim first, and I just thought, nah, that's wank. I never got onto The Cure. Because The Fields of Nephilim was so bad.
We had Suede and Pulp and Manson and Menswear. And it was just, it was all bouncy indie stuff. And, you know, if you wanted to go a bit depressed, it's like, oh, I'll put on Joy Division and The Smiths. I don't need The Cure.
Absolutely. But I discovered it in my 20s.
It's a bit of a shame.
I discovered it in my 20s, but it would have been good to discover it earlier. But, you know.
Yeah. I think, I reckon I'd have been 23, 24 when Napster was the thing.
Very true.
I think I'll have had it off Napster.
I love Napster. Do you remember when Napster were giving away free Bitcoin when you downloaded this stuff?
No way. Did they?
Yeah, they did. Was it Napster? Another service like that. And I remember I had
Bitcoins were so much if you have old stuff.
I know. I had some Bitcoin because every time you had to upload so much stuff and they gave you a Bitcoin back. And I had loads. I'd love to know where it was now. Probably attached to my old AOL account somewhere. Would have been a bloody millionaire. Anyway, such is life.
Music. Who needs money?
Exactly. I would like money as well, but you know, we do have
what
music.
What about the cover? What about the cover?
It's weird. It's very goth. For what it's trying to achieve, I give it a big thumbs up.
Yeah, but it absolutely describes the album.
Yeah, but it's not the greatest piece of art. I mean, if somebody said, would you like to hang that in your front room? I'd be like, no. Don't need that in my life. It's fine, but thank you for the offer.
I mean, I'm a man surrounded by trees, Matt, eh?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's just sad.
Surrounded by trees. I wish it could go away. I quite like it now, though. Now I'm looking at it.
Are you going to explain to the viewers what's happening?
So, I came online today, and we use Teams to speak to each other and record through our computers, and for some reason, Teams has decided that I'm in a forest today, which is... weird, but not awful. I quite like it.
And I just said it looks like a Flaming Lips video.
Which helped me like it even more, which is fine, yeah. Right, so just to sum up, Bob Dylan shit, Cure genius, Nick hates everything, let's move on to the playlist. So yes. I'm really excited by this playlist. So did we all have a chance to listen to it?
Yes.
Okay, so my discovery of the month is on here, and there's two songs from her. There's two discoveries. There's Chloe Slater and Safari Room, and there's four songs here from those artists in total. So the first discovery, it starts the album with 24 Hours by Chloe Slater, which I thought was just perfect indie guitar, poppy, teen, angsty music, which I just loved. What did you guys think?
I thought there's three good indie electropop songs, 24 Hours, Sink and Feeling, and Not Like the Rest. I thought all three were the same sort of great, angry indie electropop. Like, all three. It's in like, you hardly get three of those in a year, and you put three in a week.
Yeah, they're really good.
Like, that's what should be in the charts, that sort of thing.
Yeah, really.
Like, I think everyone would love that.
I love the lyrics for 24 upbeat. Hours as well. 24 Hours is such a, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like being a 1920 year old in this day and age of social media and Instagram and the pressure to look a certain way at all times. And it's all about that kind of like the pressure that I guess young people under, which, you know, I can appreciate. So it's a great song. Lyrically, it's really interesting. But yeah, you're right. Those are all three great songs. That Chloe Slater's only got two songs out at the moment, both on there, 24 Hours and Sinking Feeling. But you're right also about Girl Band as well. I thought Girl Band was fantastic.
I thought that was good. Yeah, I thought that was
really fantastic.
Clever lyrics.
Yeah, really good. Okay, superb. Next song we had, You Are a Ghost by Safari Room. So there's two songs on here by Safari Room. There's You Are a Ghost and second to last, there's A Crease in the Blind. So I came across You Are a Ghost because Spotify shoved it in my release radar, which I always listen to because it's where I find most of my new music. So, and then I listened to the album because I liked You Are a Ghost, and then I came across Crease in the Blinds, which is the second from the last song on the playlist. And I thought that out of both of them, Crease in the Blinds is absolutely gorgeous and probably beats You Are a Ghost, but You Are a Ghost is still really, really good. But both of those, I think, are genius. Thoughts? Chris hates them, I can tell.
I thought they were just so bland compared to everything else on the playlist. And you know what really annoyed me about You Are a Ghost? He was layering it up and it was really good, and he did fuck all with the drums. He just kept these simple drums going. It was just like, put on battered drums. I'm just, you know me, I get really, like when we used to do demos and stuff, and you used to send them to me, I'd be like, pump up the drums in the chorus. It's just, it's what you do. Big drums, big chorus. And the chorus comes in, the drums are still like, it's like, no, do better drums.
Okay, but come on, Crease in the Blinds, the harmonies on that song are absolutely gorgeous, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Outstanding harmonies.
I mean, it's a lovely song. Just wasn't really in the mood for lovely songs this week.
Okay, super.
Nick, you know me.
Nick, by the way, if you've got any comments, just feel dive straight in. Or if you're on Plus, that's fine.
The problem is that my connection tonight is really shit, so half the time you guys are pausing and freezing, and I don't know what the fuck's going on, so I'm kind of staying out of it.
Is your broadband not good? No.
Froze again.
I take it that's a no. Yeah, you just froze again, yeah.
It froze when you were saying
you
that.
You need new broadband. You need new
It's normally fine, broadband. But it's probably all the porn I'm streaming, so... But
yeah,
I will say this, right?
Just leave it till afterwards.
I will say this. The next song, Killing Moon, the cover of Killing Moon with Brett on it, no thanks.
No, I didn't particularly like it. No, I didn't like it. I thought I was going to. So there's a gig happening in Manchester with Brett and this orchestra, and it's called The Deaf Songbook, and it's all Brett singing with this orchestra. And I was going to get tickets, but I don't think I will off the shred for this. It was dull. And the music didn't have any kind of bombasticness to it, is that a word? Have I just made that up? It just seemed flat all the way through.
Compared to the original, it just seemed not very powerful. And there's a fucking bassoon on it or something that I just thought was shit. That low instrument thing.
If somebody said to you, would you like to
hear... Because it's Brett. Of course I want to like it.
But if somebody said, it's The Killing Moon, it's Brett Anderson singing it with an orchestra, you'd be like, fuck yeah, get me that straight away. But when you listen to it, it's like, oh... No, not for me. So sorry, Brett, we still love you, but just not when you sing with this orchestra. Okay, next is a band I've been following for a couple of years. They're called the China Bears. They're finally releasing a debut album soon after releasing a string of singles. The debut album's out, I think, in May, if I remember correctly. I may be making that up. But it's called Easy Kill. I like it. It's just a nice guitar, simple pop song.
Do you think it sounds like The Vaccines?
I think it's a similar vein, yeah.
And hardly anyone sounds like The Vaccines, which is quite nice, because I don't think I've ever said that about someone before, because it's nice to describe a band sounding like the Vaccines to kind of make them be like, oh, people are trying to emulate you now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think this song's probably more energetic than they normally are. They normally write quite slow, melodic guitar songs. But I like this one. It's really good. So I hope they do more of this stuff. Thumbs up then, yeah?
Yeah, good.
Okay. We've covered Sinking Feeling, the next one by Chloe Slater. Now, next one's really interesting. So House of Cards by Isaac Howlett. So background to this, there's a band I absolutely love and they're called Empathy Test. You ever heard of them?
Nope.
So Empathy Test are massive in Europe. Germany, Hungary, all those East European countries, they're massive. And they're from London, the synth duo. And they're really good Empathy Test. They've been going for about 10 years. And they've had about 3 or 4 albums in that time. And it's been massive everywhere, apart from over here. Anyway, Isaac's the lead singer of them. And this is his first solo. So he's been quite public about Empathy Test recently, saying, I love the band, I want to be part of the band. But my creative partner's in a different place in his life right now. He doesn't want to write music. So I've got stuff I want to do. So I'm being forced into doing something by myself. So I feel quite bad for him, because it must be awful when you're in a band with somebody and then they just suddenly decide that, oh, I'm a bit busy for the next few years, so just go off and do your own stuff. So he's doing his own stuff, and this is his first single, and I really like it. What do you think?
I think it's bloody amazing. I listened to this about 20 times this week. You know, it's one of those songs you're like, that's just so good. I mean, it's just right up my street. You know, like my synth pop.
Yeah, yeah.
But he just nails it. Punchy choruses, great loud bits, great quiet bits, great lyrics. I just put on that Empathy Test next week, whatever their best song is, because that is in my top 5 of the year so far.
So if you like this, you will absolutely love Empathy Test. I'd say Empathy Test sound a little bit cooler than this. This is a bit more 80s synth pop, whereas Empathy Test are a bit more edgy. So, yeah, but I think you'll like it. I'll put on some Empathy Test next week. Absolutely. I'm glad you like that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Next one is The Middle Kids. I don't know how to pronounce it. Dramamine, but I love this as well.
Have you missed Cigarettes After Sex?
Oh, I did, yeah. Taja Blue, Cigarettes
After
Sex.
Can't miss that. You can't miss that.
It was good, wasn't it?
We all missed that.
So did we like it? I
thought it was really good.
Yeah, they're one of those bands that they can't really do. I honestly think he could probably sing a Bob Dylan song, and as long as he does it in his slow way, that breathy vocal, it'd sound good. I don't think it's possible for them to do a bad song. So
is it not one of those things, though, really good to hear one of their songs on a playlist, you know, one every night, but 10 in a row?
Yeah, yeah. I struggle with the albums. I brought the albums. I've got two of them on vinyl, and I listened to a side at a time. It's just both sides would be too much. But yeah, great single. More of the same, but if it's broken, don't fix it. We love Cigarettes After Sex, so we'll go on, keep going with that. Okay, Middle Kids, Dramamine. I think it's fantastic. It's just great, really good guitar pop song. Love it.
Do you think it sounds like Vampire Weekend?
A little.
I thought it was Vampire Weekend's new song. I'm like listening away and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, Matt's put on the new Vampire Weekend, and I'm like, oh, it's not. And
it's
like,
this one.
Middle Kids. I'm like, where are the Middle Kids? And I'm like, I wonder if the Middle Kids like the middle-aged indie kids.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
But no, I thought it was Vampire Weekend, but I really like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's really good. Okay, we've covered off the girl band already, so we'll go into Rollercoaster Bleachers, which is fantastic. Really, really good.
Heard it before?
No, I hadn't. No.
That's insane. It was massive. So that's what got me into them a billion years ago. Yep. And I looked it up in Chris's facts. They were true. He was the guy that co-wrote 1989 with Taylor Swift.
Ah, right. Okay. Makes sense.
So that's why she sounds indie.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess on that album.
I love 1989.
And that was his first song. I think it's a great song. Did you like it, Nick?
Yeah, I actually knew that song from before. I don't know how I knew it, but I did know it. The first time I heard it on the playlist, I was like, hey, wait, I know this. I've heard this before, so I don't know. It's a good song.
Well, you know me. I bang on and text you things, and then you listen to them once, and then you never listen to them again in the old days.
Possibly.
Okay, second to last song we've already covered. That's Crease in the Blinds by Safari Room, which Chris, she wasn't a big fan of, but I still maintain it's got some of the nicest melodies I've heard in years. And last, it was interesting, so I've never come across Fever Ray before. And the only reason I've come across her this week is because half my Facebook seems to have gone to her Manchester gig. So I was just, I woke up the other morning and just confronted by a shitload of photos from people who'd been to see her live. And she looked weird. She looked interesting. She looked like, I imagine Barry would look on stage if she was he was a girl. So I thought, right, she looks intriguing. So I'm going to go and listen to her. It's a lot of stuff to get through. So I just went for the first album and went for the newest single, which is called Shiver. But I actually really like it. It's unusual, you can't really categorise it. It's it's a bit Portishead, it's a bit Grimes, it's a bit, I don't know, I like it, it's catchy. It's still got that pop sensibility to it. Chris, did you hate it?
Fucking horrendous. Just like the vocal was awful, the beats were awful, the lyrics was awful. I think I listened to it once. The next time it came around I'm like, okay, I'll give it a listen again. Halfway through I'm like, fucking horrendous. Okay. Just, oh, it's the sort of music I hate. It's this new futuristic shite.
But you know what?
Pick up a guitar and fucking learn three chords, darling.
But from this playlist, you've learned that you like Chloe Slater. You've learned that you like China Bears. You've learned that you like Isaac Hallett. And,
loved House of Cards, eh? It
was yeah, yeah.
So easy kill.
Yeah. So you've
it
picked
was
up
a great playlist.
You've picked up at least three new bands that you might be into or people you might be into. Yep. So if you don't like
and luckily, couple, at the end, you don't have to play the last song. It's like on your old Now tapes. If you don't like the last song, you just fast forwarded and turned the tape over. It's great. Yeah.
Fantastic. But it was a good playlist. I thought there was a lot. And I'm particularly excited by that Chloe Slater. I think I want to hear what she comes out with next because I love both of those songs. I've been absolutely hammering both of those songs. I was absolutely hammering them, actually, until I got the mention I'm going to see Tom Odell on Tuesday. So what I've done for the last couple of days is I've just been on Setlist FM, got his last two set lists, put them on a playlist on Spotify. I've been hammering that. So,
but I love doing that.
Yeah, just learning the songs, making sure you know, in case he plays anything left field that you haven't heard before, so you just get to know it before.
And to know when the toilet and beer breaks are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be good. It's going to be good! Okay, Chris, take us through to next week and what horrendous shit you're going to be putting us through. Please, no Bob Dylan. Please.
Not Bob Dylan. So, there's what... I think you like both albums, Matt.
Oh, okay.
Nick's going to fucking hate one, and I think... So, I thought he hated the other band, but maybe he likes the other band because we talked about them in the last 2 weeks. So, the first one is a really famous rapper.
Ah, okay. So, Eminem?
No.
Jay-Z?
No.
Kanye?
Yes.
Ooh, so I'm not is listening it, to that. Is it Twisted
what
Dark
What album,
Fantasy?
Though? It is. I thought it album. Would be one of his first ones.
Like Graduation or something.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that's his most popular album.
It's a great album. It's got Runaway on it. Runaway is amazing.
In my life.
But you must like Runaway.
I don't want it. I don't know if I like Runaway. I don't know what that is.
It's one that goes ding, ding, ding at the start. Granted, it doesn't sound good when I'm saying that, but it does. It just goes ding, ding.
I'm definitely not listening ding. To this album. I can't even fuck off.
It's a good album.
The second one. So the second one, I know you like it because I ripped your copy onto my mini disc when I stayed down with you in 1999. but it's from 1989.
Q Trading
Standards
Nick didn't
like
us.
This band. Home taping's killing music.
Go on, who is it?
So I thought Nick didn't like these guys, but I think maybe he does like these guys. It's basically the seminal indie album of all time.
Stone Roses.
From 1989.
1989.
It's the Stone Roses.
Ah, Second Coming.
Oh,
it'll be
First Coming.
First Coming will be the debut of 1989. Yeah, okay. Well, it's a great album. Yeah,
do you like the album?
Okay, I thought you were down on Stone Roses.
I'm not a huge fan of Stone Roses. It's not
used to
not something that I would go to. But if you hear the songs, and you're like, oh, this is actually quite a good one. But I never really got into the Second Coming.
I think early 90s, you hated them.
Yeah, because everyone loved them. I'm like, oh, fuck that shit. It's that good.
Yeah, I like this album, but I don't like much else they've done. I didn't particularly like Elephant Stone. I didn't particularly like Second Coming. the first album of Wanna Be Adored and all those songs, absolutely fantastic. And again, it's very similar to The Cure Disintegration, where they all sound similar. They all sound like they're a collection of songs. They sound like they wrote in the same space in the same week on the recording the same desk. And I love it when albums do that. But we'll talk about it more next week.
And although we don't have a poll, I think the Stone Roses would probably win the indie poll.
Yeah, did you get in touch with Facebook about the poll? Did anyone come back to you?
I did. Dear Mr. Facebook, what the fuck's happened? Where's our poll gone? Fuck all back.
Bastards. So annoying.
Bloody Mr. Facebook. There's controversy. We're doing a good job, guys. We did have 17 subscribers and now we've got 16. We're slowly coming down.
It's because my mic's someone had that hum
like,
in it.
Fuck this.
My mic's had that hum in it. That's going to be it. They're going to be thinking, if they can't even be arsed buying a new fucking mic, I'm not listening to these clowns.
Unsubscribe.
We don't do it for them, we do it for us. I just love it.
We're trying to get down to minus one.
Yeah, which is good. I just think that we slagged off Pink Floyd to the point where it was just too much for some people, and now we've started on Bob Dylan, so...
Yeah.
And we went in pretty hard on Led Zeppelin at the start as well. In fact, I would say like 80% of the albums that we've listened to, we've been pretty scathing about. So, you know.
Well, because they're not good enough.
Yeah. But there we go. Such is life. Can't please everybody. We're never going to retire after this anyway. Right.
Cool. 40 minutes to edit, Matt.
I know. Right, say goodbye, everybody. Let's have an early finish because it means less editing for the old boy.
I'm going to do it because I'm going to Paris in May. So au revoir, everyone.
See you later. Like, subscribe, unsubscribe, whatever you feel like. Take care. Bye.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Right,
that's German.
Let's pause that.